it's no, I'm not going to swear, but it's Friday, our favorite F word, my favorite F word. I have many favorite F words, but this is my favorite one. The weather's really strange outside at the moment. Hello, Lianka.
Oh, hi, Wayne. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Very good. It's weather. It's I was saying to you just before we started the show, it's like living in the desert because, you know, it's really cold in the morning and then the afternoon comes and then it's really warm. It's really strange that.
I guess, yeah, this actually resembles South African weather, I guess, during like autumn and winter more than any of the other winter weather we've had, even though this is, I guess, summer weather in the Netherlands.
Yeah, no, this is definitely winter for us in regards to the temperature.
Yes. Yeah, I've been suffering because it's already the middle of May and it's still cold. I thought it would be hot by now.
Yeah, it's really strange as well. I was saying to you last week that when I arrived here last year, the weather was for 2 weeks beautiful in the beginning of May. And it's been the complete opposite. Really strange.
I mean, the Dutch people, they sound like this is pretty normal. So I guess, yeah, this is pretty normal.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Dutch people, a lot has happened since Monday. Obviously, there was a press conference on Tuesday, which we'll get more into in the news. But lots of positive outcomes from that. So, yes, looking forward to that, and to what's going to be happening in the horizons. I've had an interesting week. It started off really busy, and then towards Wednesday, it sort of started slowing down a little bit, which is always nice.
Okay. Yeah, what did you do? Why was it so interesting?
I just had a few things I had to do work-wise, and then, yeah, just work started slowing down in a good way, so I'm happy about that. Today, I had to go for the first time to Zaandam. Have you ever been there?
Oh, Zaandam, yeah. I had a good friend who lived there, but she actually went back to South Africa. But she might be back to the Netherlands. I'm not sure what her plan is, but yeah, so I went there a few times.
You know, I've never been there, and I've lived here for a year. I mean, there's many places I haven't been in the Netherlands. I mean, I haven't been to Rotterdam. I haven't been to Eindhoven. I've been to Utrecht once or twice.
Okay.
But I haven't been to, like, Rotterdam or Eindhoven or Zaandam. But I must say, I'm quite impressed with Zaandam. I mean, I've heard mixed stories from Zaandam. I mean, I've heard some people say it's really shitty there, and some people say it's actually quite nice. And
I think it's quite nice, actually.
Yeah, it is. There's not much happening there in regards to, there's lots of buildings, but people don't live in them. There's lots of vacated buildings in Zaandam.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
Mm. Yes, it's very interesting.
I thought it was a nice suburb, like part of, well, close to Amsterdam to live in anyway, like a suburb.
Cheaper,
adjacent.
Yeah. Cheaper to live in.
Yeah, yeah, also cheaper for sure.
Now, I've been very close to the north of Amsterdam. I've been to that NDSM place, which is, it sounds like an underground festival for crackheads.
Yeah, it does.
It actually, basically, this place is a place where young entrepreneurs go to start businesses and to network and all of that.
Is it the place that's made out of the shipping containers?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I actually, my good friend from South Africa is friends with one of the architects that helped sort of like build up that place. I've met him as well, the architect, to help develop it. So, yeah, that's a really nice place, actually.
Well, we were actually going to be based in one of those shipping containers, the studio.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the studio was going to be based in one of those containers, but I thought, yeah, maybe I'll think about it. And then luckily this location where we are now came up. So, yeah, but it's a really nice place. I think it's, you know, in regards to being an entrepreneur, I think Amsterdam is, or the Netherlands in general, is a good place to be if you want to.
For entrepreneurship, definitely. They have a lot of innovative businesses and stuff going happening here.
I mean, when I went to Germany last year to go visit my good friend, who the one that's pregnant, this is actually, and I keep mentioning this. This is actually where the idea came from, Amsterdam Lab. Mm. I mean, you know, we all go to Germany and want to take over the world. It's just something about that. I don't know.
In the water there.
Yeah, something in the air. Yeah.
Brings out the supremacist in you.
I know. The thing is, you would think Germany, you know, because they associate themselves with being innovative, but they still rely on paper money. They still rely on paying in cash, which is very frustrating because I never carry cash with me. I always use my iPhone to pay, or in worst case scenario, I mean, I don't even carry my bank cards with me because it's all on my iPhone.
Yeah, but me neither.
If I do, then yeah.
I also pay with my phone or my watch.
Yeah. So you'd associate Germany with that, and they do sometimes associate themselves with being innovative. But when I was there, it was really frustrating because, you know, I want to buy something for them, you know, if it's whether it's lunch or dinner or anything, I can't because I don't have cash on me. And then you ask them, oh, okay, well, where is the ATM? And like the nearest ATM is like a kilometer down the road. It's like, well, if you rely so much on paper money, you should be your ATMs on the corner of every supermarket or every food store, or whatever.
Yeah, Japan was the same. Like, well, it's changed a little bit now, but when I got there, they only accepted cash. The ATMs were like few and far between, and they closed at like 5 p.m. Like when the bank closed, the ATM also closed, and you're like, how the hell am I supposed to get cash now? So, and even over like long weekends where there were public holidays, then the banks wouldn't be open and neither would the ATMs. So you actually had to plan sometimes in advance to get money out of the ATM. Otherwise, you would just like sort of run out of cash. Nowadays, they're a bit better though. And like now you can get money like 24/7 if you're willing to pay the fees. But before, it was a bit of a nightmare as well.
You would imagine Japan and South Korea and... I know Singapore because I've been to Singapore, but you associate those countries to be very tech innovative.
South Korea, yes. Singapore, I think also, yes. I've only been there once really quickly. Japan, yeah, that's that idea that people have about Japan being technologically advanced is a bit of a false one. They love paper money. They still use USB drives. Or not even. Sometimes when I was teaching there, I couldn't even use a USB drive. I had to like write all the content onto a CD. I haven't had a CD burner in my laptop for like a decade. So that was always a problem.
Yeah. And computers nowadays, laptops don't even come with CD drives anymore.
No, you send stuff to the cloud, man. But all those things were very complicated in Japan. They have like weird security issues there and anonymity laws and things like that.
I guess it's also a novelty that comes with it, you know. I think Germans still kind of feel that authenticity when they pay with money. I guess it's the same in Japan.
Well, Japan and Germany, they industrialized maybe quicker, like after the Second World War, than some of the other countries did. So South Korea, I mean, they're sort of, this is now their time to shine. So they're a bit more modern than I feel than Japan and potentially also Germany and maybe the Netherlands. Maybe there's something like that there with the Netherlands as well. Japan was very modern in the 70s, but the infrastructure was so good then that they haven't had to replace it and they still use it. But, you know, things are it's getting a bit old school now.
Yeah, everyone else is catching up.
Yeah.
Now, actually, the reason why I was in Zaandam this morning was because I had to go collect my... my residence ID for, you know, because of Brexit, so I need a residence ID now.
Oh, yeah.
But now this is the second residence ID I had, because the first one, apparently the place that I went to and some other British citizens went to in Amsterdam, apparently the place we went to, there was a fault with the camera. So anyway, I got a letter in the post to say, I need to reapply. It was all for free. I just had to get my photo taken again. And they said, the reason why you need to reapply is because the photo is not up to European standards. Now, I've looked at my previous card that I had to, because I had to hand it in this morning, previous card. And I looked at my picture. My picture looks crystal clear. But anyway, so I had to go and collect my card. I mean, they had one job, and that's to make a card. And they couldn't even get that right. But anyway, I got that. And they were in Zaandam. And I'll read it to you quickly because I've got it in front of me. So basically, this is going to be interesting, and everyone who's listening to this podcast is going to probably wet themselves. But that's my plan, because we all know that my Dutch is terrible. Basically, it just says, "Verbrief op grond van terugtrekken sakod." Did you understand that?
I mean, some of the words, like the verblijfsvergunning is teruggetrek.
It's a code. Arbeid vrij toegestaan.
So you're allowed to work.
Yes, and then it says TWV. Don't know what that means. TWV.
The werkvergunning. It means you're allowed to work.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't have that. That's why I know.
Basically, yeah, it just says, I'm allowed to work, blah, 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 blah. But, it was just really frustrating because, anyway, I've got my card now. I shouldn't actually be bitching about this, but anyway.
Can I ask you a question? How is it now living in the Netherlands now that the UK is not part of Europe anymore? But I guess you came before the official Brexit split. So you still came under the European Union agreement or whatever. And now you're not EU anymore. Like, has it caused a lot of problems for you?
It's frustrating. That's all. Because, right now, I can, but I have to wait. So Spain is going to put the UK on its green list because, countries are working on green lists now for COVID for the summer. Next week, I think, or the week after that. But if I were still European, I could travel to Spain, Portugal, Germany, France.
Yeah, right now.
Right now. I wouldn't need to be on a green list. But, the UK has always made it difficult for their citizens. They seem to enjoy doing that.
Yeah, I think that definitely sounds like they enjoy doing that.
In fact, on the 1st of January... I put a memory of 2020, and basically I became a citizen last year of the UK, and I put a caption on Instagram with I think two or three pictures, basically saying what a year it's been, blah blah blah. I became a European citizen briefly, and then. Yeah, traveled to the Netherlands and started a new life, a new company, and all of that. I was talking to someone who I know who works on a radio station in South Africa, YFM, and we were talking on Twitter, and she was saying to me, where the hell are you at the moment? So I said, I'm still in the Netherlands. Starting my own, I've started my own company and all of that, which she knows about. A lot of people still think I live in the UK. I don't know why that is, but anyway. So I said to her, I could never go back to the UK. I said, in fact, I would rather go through the pain and the torture of eating my own penis off than going back to the UK. That's how far I am willing to go.
I don't know. Never say never, man. Like, I've had to swallow my words a few times by making big statements like that.
Yeah, well, I don't mince my words when I say stuff like this. And people who listen to the show and people who know me will will vouch for me.
What about moving back to South Africa? Is that ever an option?
I've tried. I've tried numerous occasions. And you see, the frustrating thing with South Africa is, and this really irritates me, you know, I mean, I've had a few job offers on radio in South Africa. But the problem with South Africa is, for some reason, the moment you leave the country, they seem to think, oh, well, you're out of touch with South Africa in regards to what's happening in South Africa. Now, I haven't lived in South Africa since 2008. I'm pretty sure I know just as much as what's going on in South Africa than a South African. In fact, I probably know more than you know, that's what's happening in South Africa than a South African that's living there.
I mean, I guess it all depends on how regularly you read the news. But, you know, there's also an argument to be made for reading the news versus the lived experience, actually being there and seeing what's going on.
Sure. And that's not to say that I read News 24. I mean, I read other, you know, media outlets, publishers. So, you know, I get a view on both sides of the story, both left and right. So it's just frustrating. I mean, I had a job offer for Cape Talk, I think it's called.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. Basically, I should have gone. I keep telling myself this, but at the time I was applying for what was the final stage of getting citizenship in the UK, and the government had my
thing to give up. So.
Well, yeah, and the government had my passport, so I couldn't. It was just going to be a big rigmarole, and yeah. Anyway, you know, could have, should have, would have, but you know, here I am with Amsterdam Lab, and yes,
it's not the worst place to be.
No, how has your week been? Because I feel like I've just been blabbering on about my pathetic life. How's your week been?
No, it's interesting for me to learn about how to settle down in the country. Just incidentally, before I tell you about my week,
yes,
I do not have permission to work in this country as an international student. So if anyone is listening, if you want to study in the Netherlands, it's not that easy to work as an international student. So maybe just keep that in mind. Yeah, they really make us jump through hoops.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Anyway, I actually had a great week. It was super creative. I went this week. I started an internship in Rotterdam with a cycling company. I also went to the printing workshop and I went to the ceramic workshop this week. So yeah, it's been very busy and productive.
Very nice. Well, mazel tov. Yeah. Mazel tov for the cycling company.
Oh yeah, I'm very excited about that. We're working on an interesting project all related to the body on a bike and your body like wrapped in Lycra and clothing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we're busy planning a workshop to improve, you know, cycling shorts, especially to see like we're going to like crowdsource and get some feedback and input from other people as well.
You seem to take your bicycle, your cycling really seriously, which is good. I've never met someone who takes it that serious. In a good way. I'm a
bicycle tour guide for 3 years.
Right.
I'm not the fastest cyclist, but I really love it. So I was cycling not that much, around 50 Ks a day, sometimes more, but you know, like on average, I was doing 50 Ks a day. But I was spending 8 hours a day on a bike. So I understand what it feels like to ride the bike all day and just sort of have a life that's built around a bike. And it's something that I really enjoy and I really love. So now that is my life, and also clothing and also art.
I can't,
many interests.
I can't wait to see what the future brings for you, because you sound like you've got a very exciting future ahead of you. Sounds very interesting.
I have a very exciting future, but what I'm doing right now is maybe very niche. So I will have to work hard to position myself in a good and favorable way. So I'll have to work hard to get other people as excited about the things that I'm doing as what I am.
Nice. Yeah.
But thanks for the compliments.
Oh, well, you know, someone's got to be complimentary. But I really do mean that. I do think you've got a very interesting, bright future ahead of you. It's pretty cool. Oh, by the way,
before we
get into the news
yes.
and what's happened this week, some people were asking me from Monday's show, because, you know, I mentioned that I went to this this place on over last weekend to
The coffee. Italian place.
Yeah. Now, they were asking me what the name was, and it's called La Piccola Barocca.
Oh.
La Piccola Barocca. And they are located in Hugo de Hoedplan. So go visit them. They're in Amsterdam. I have nothing bad to say about them. Terrific service. The waiters are great, which is not often you get that. Coffee. The coffee is good. Depends on who makes it. But I'm just like that because I'm a coffee addict. I drink lots of coffee from all kinds of cafes. So I know how coffee should be made. You know, like cappuccino, latte, flat whites, you know, macchiato, all of those specialities. So depending on who makes the coffee, great place. You can sit outside, so you can enjoy your coffee, have some nice wine. So go visit La Piccola Barocca. They are located in Hugo de Hoedplan in Amsterdam.
Oh, fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
One day when I have money again, I will also go.
Yes. Oh, by the way, I need to get back to Mario. Well, I did, but Marius is planning on a braai / team building session soon.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Mm. So yeah, as soon as we've got dates, it'll probably be in our WhatsApp group. But yes, just keep an eye on our WhatsApp group. How are they treating you, by the way? Because I was a bit scared.
Oh, the people in the WhatsApp? No, they've all been very nice and friendly. They've made some friendly comments. So, I mean, you're part of the group. You can see what they're typing. So far,
well, you see,
I'm enthusiastic and inclusionary.
I'm part of the group. I'm the owner of the company, but I don't really. I get the notifications, but unless it's involving me, I don't actually get myself involved in the group. You know, like Marius told me, oh, Wade, you need to fade up Lianka because she sounds like she's faded. But you sound crystal clear to me. And when I listen back to the podcasts, you sound very loud. So,
Well, I mean, I just
have it's probably that
bellowing voice.
It's probably that whiskey because Marius has an addiction to whiskey.
Oh.
So it's probably all that whiskey he's drinking. He's
making, I guess it must be.
Yeah, he's not making him listen too good. Now, this is interesting. Political parties who stem their support from religious voters, as is mostly the case, have been slamming a proposed change to South Africa's marriage laws, which could see women marrying more than one man.
But I mean, the men can already be polygamous, so why not the woman?
Well, exactly. Now, the legalization of polyamory, being a whore, basically, is just one of the number of wide-ranging proposals. In the green paper, which the Department of Home Affairs said it's gazetted in a bid to invite substantive comments from the public. Where has she gone now? She's disappeared on me. Technology. Anyway, I'll keep reading this whilst we get Lianka back on the line. What happened there? Did someone chew your internet?
Wait, am I still there?
Are you
still there?
I'm still here. Wait, hang on. Let me call you back. I'll call you back. Technology. Oh my God. Okay, let's get her back on the line. There's never a show when something doesn't work properly. All right, let's get her back on the line. Ah. anyway, this is really interesting because, you know, as Lianka said, you know, if men can marry various women, multiple women, then females should marry other females. Welcome back, Lianka.
Yeah, thank you.
Did someone chew your internet? Did someone cut the wrong cable?
I mean, I don't know. So far, I've not been impressed with the internet here. I just, you know, moving here from Japan and all. But I told you before, like, that everyone tells me it's because everyone's working from home now. So,
well, it's Friday, so they shouldn't. It's Friday evening.
Maybe everyone is at home watching Netflix and chilling.
Or they're watching the other streaming service. Pornhub.
Yeah. Maybe.
So basically, as you were saying, you know, you're absolutely right. I think, you know, if men can marry as many women as they want, I think females should be allowed to marry as many men as they want.
I mean, we have a very progressive constitution in South Africa, but what the constitution say versus how, like, what the current climate or sort of the mindset of the people in the country is, are still very different. You know, I think there's still quite a lot of patriarchy there. But I mean, there's also an argument to be made that African women have like a very strong authoritative position in their households and in the family and stuff. So, yeah, I guess it's a bit of an interesting situation.
Well, Al Jama A, that's his name, who's party leader of Ghanif. Oh, no, wait. The leader is Ghanif Hendricks, and he's the leader of Al Jama A.
Ah, okay, yeah.
Well, I mean, that could be his name as well. He said that he would support street protests if a proposal on polyandry is included in this legalization. He said that the government's responsibility to uphold it's the government's responsibility to uphold decent moral values.
But his party doesn't sound like it's a really big party.
Mm-mm.
I mean, I've heard of them, but I don't think they, like, feature heavily on, like, the political landscape of South Africa.
I think if they're lucky, they get, like, 1% of the vote.
Oh, wow. Yeah, if they're lucky, that's quite a lot in South Africa.
Now, these marriages are considered by this guy's party, Al Jama'a, as an adulterous relationship.
Hmm.
Now, interesting, would you do this if you were this kind of person, if you were part of this religious organization, would you marry as many men as you wanted to?
I mean, I guess if I could, I would consider it, although it sounds quite exhausting. I mean, one man already is a lot. And I'm not saying that men are hard, but like relationships are hard. So a relationship with one person is already a lot of work, so... Yeah.
Well, I have a terrible love life. So, I mean, even just one relationship is an achievement for me, let alone six women. Now, a Department of Home Affairs spokesperson said that the purpose of this marriage policy is to establish a foundation for marriages of all people that reside in South Africa, including, listen to this, asylum seekers and refugees. Now, given the ANC's shady record of how they treat refugees, we can firmly say that this is just one big fat white lie.
That sounds like a...
I mean, we've seen...
bit of tumultuous territory.
Yeah, we've seen those xenophobic attacks on Zimbabweans and Zambians.
But I mean, that is not politically instigated. That's more... That's not something the ANC, I guess, endorses necessarily. It's just the political climate sort of sets up the situation for things like that to happen.
Well, they also don't.
Or the economic climate, I guess.
They also don't discourage it as well.
Well, yes, there's always that argument to be made, I guess. Yeah.
Now, this marriage statute will enable South Africans of all sexual origins, religions, and cultural backgrounds to blah, 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 blah. Okay, we don't need to hear the rest of that. But basically, I think, as you said, if If men can do it, why not women?
Yeah, if Jacob Zuma, how many wives has he had? He's like, he's got a few ex-wives and he still has like six other ones. So they all live, I guess, harmoniously, kind of peacefully together. So if he can do it, women should also be allowed to do it.
He's got 25. Listen properly. 2150 billion won. That's how many wives he's got. Now, this is gonna go away anytime soon in the news. But Bill Gates has told his his friends that his marriage to Melinda was loveless, which kind of says a lot, really.
I mean, how long were they married? They were married for like a long time.
27 years they were married for.
It's funny when people are together for that long and they're like, oh, it was completely loveless. Like, what does that even mean? If you can tolerate someone for 27 years, I mean, you probably had some type of feeling towards them.
Well, I guess
when it sounds like it should be love.
Well, yeah, exactly. When you've been married to someone for that long, and this is the fear I have when I'm in a relationship, because the thing about me is I get bored very quickly. But that's not because of the person I'm dating. It's just because I have ADHD, so I get bored in general, you know, very quickly. And it's a very big fear that I have, because, you know, if I survive a relationship for a year, that's like ending the coronavirus. You know, that's a massive achievement.
Well, I mean, like, you just have to push past some uncomfortable, like, ebbs and flows. Like, relationships go up and down. But people, they have the wrong idea of what a relationship is also supposed to be, I guess. Everyone thinks it's like the Disney version. It's like, oh, my heart, like, butterflies in my stomach and my heart is constantly throbbing. But, you know, a healthy relationship is generally not any of those things. So it's someone that you can tolerate, but you can always rely on them. So,
yeah, someone along those lines, and also, you know, you've got to really have to experiment with sex and all of that, because if you're with that person for that long, you know, there's only so many sexual positions you can do before it gets boring. So, if I was in a relationship for that long, I would, you know, do a lot of Kama Sutra.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, like I said, even the sex goes through periods. Sometimes you're like, wow, you can't keep your hands off each other. And sometimes you're just like, wow, not tonight, sweetheart, maybe next week. So, you know, you always, yeah, you have to just be resilient, I guess, to all the changes and all the feelings and everything that comes up.
Well, you see, this is the thing. This is another fear I have. I have a fear that after a year, I have a fear that this girl, whoever this girl is I'm dating, is going to think, I'm not up to it anymore in the bed. I can't satisfy her anymore. So this is a fear I have. I live in this fear.
Well,
I'm not saying I cannot satisfy a woman, but, you know, there's only so many positions and, you know, things you can do before it gets a bit boring.
I mean, you just need to find pleasure in the small things, Wayne, like perfecting that coffee that you take to her in bed every morning, you know, and sort of making her the best evening meal you can, giving her the best massage. There's a lot of juice you can squeeze out of those fruit, man. It's not all just about the sex, although the sex is also very good and important. Well,
sex in a relationship is very important.
No, I agree, definitely.
I mean, I think if you're in a relationship and you don't have sex at least twice in a week, then there's something wrong in the relationship. So that's what I think. I mean, if you have it once a week, that's like, okay. But twice a week, that's good. That's a healthy relationship.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Now, he told his golf buddies, actually a long time before they filed for divorce, that he was getting bored of his loveless relationship. He told them that the marriage was loveless and that it had been over for some time, and they were living in separate lives. Interesting. Very interesting.
I wonder why it took them so long to file for the divorce then, if they were unhappy for that long.
I don't know. And this is all, you know, ironically coming out the same time that the New York Times revealed Bill Gates met with Jeffrey Epstein a number of times.
I already told you last week or on Monday that I think that's very scandalous.
So maybe that's why. Maybe it's not because Bill, I mean, I'm sure Bill's a great lover, but maybe that's the reason. It's because he met Jeffrey Epstein a few times. Now, this is a very, very interesting. China's population it's at its slowest rate in decades, which is very interesting. China's population grew 5.4% over the last 10 years, according to the census published by the country's National Bureau of Statistics. Now, over the last decade, China's population has increased by 72 million. But they're also saying that it's the slowest that it's actually grown in the last 10 years, because China, for some reason, they can't stop having sex in that country. And that's why they've got so many people. I mean, was it now 1.4 billion people?
The big population comes from the Cultural Revolution, everything from, I guess, the 50s to the 80s. That's when there was a massive population boom. And then I think the population started, either plateauing or declining, because then there were too many people. So they implemented the one child policy. And then now I think in the past 10 or 20 years, it's growing a little bit again.
I was actually speaking to my dad last week, I think it was. Yeah, I think last week. And I mentioned to him my proposal for what I would like to send to the Indian embassy, and that all men should get the SNP. They should get the SNP, so they can't produce babies anymore. And he was telling me. Carry on.
No, I'm just saying, you can't blame the people. The government is probably endorsing this. They're saying yay, make India great, the more people we have, we can get the GDP will grow and stuff like that.
Make India great.
Yeah, make India great. I don't know what the government is telling them. I'm sure the government is supporting the way the people are living.
My father was saying to me that the problem is it's down to poverty. When you live in poverty, this is the problem. Which is interesting that's very interesting, because if I was living in poverty, the first thing on my mind was, how am I going to get out of poverty and not make it worse?
Yeah, but I guess you are not in poverty, so the way that you've been brought up to view the world is already different. So the chances that you will end up there is quite slim. But I mean, if you are in such a situation, having children, sometimes there's an economic benefit to having children. They can help on the farm, or they can help in the business that you run, etc., etc. So, and I guess also then infant fatality rate is pretty high, so they don't really, I think, consider planning, family planning and stuff as important, maybe, or as integral of part of life as we do.
It's just interesting, because if I were in that situation, I don't know. I the last thing on my mind would be making the problem worse.
I don't know. If you're in a good economic situation, you always think that the way you see the world is the right way. That's the way the world should be run. But there's a lot of people that don't agree with this point of view. So that's why there is so much, conflict in the world right now.
Well, a lot of people don't agree that the men should get snipped in India. But
I mean, I guess if it was important for them to curb the population, they would come up with their own ways, their own ideology or their own sort of solution towards it.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
There would be some government incentive, I guess. Like, they incentivize a lot of the countries in the world where there's a declining population rate to have children. They're like, the more children you get, the more money we will give you, or something like that.
Sure. Yeah. No, sure. You know. Anyway. Now, there was a press conference on Tuesday in the Netherlands. Basically, very exciting news. We could soon travel to other countries, yes. From the 17th, I think it is. It's still under debate, but it's more likely to get the green light to go ahead. So that's very good news. And the Netherlands has managed to, I don't know how, but they've managed to administer over 7 million COVID-19 vaccine shots, which is terrific. Don't know how they've managed to do that, but
7 million is, I guess it's almost half the population.
Which is interesting because the Netherlands is very anti-vaccination. So I don't know where this comes from.
The Netherlands is they're a very individualistic culture, so the people feel here that they should have the right to decide whether or not they should get vaccine. Oh, not only vaccination. They have the right to decide what happens to them or how they should conduct themselves. So they don't enjoy all this government, like the autocratic way the government is like handling the COVID situation. What am I saying? Autocratic, authoritative, totalitarian.
Yeah, that's the wine
talking. What is the word again?
That's the wine talking that you're drinking.
Yeah. Unfortunately, like, the wine is taking over my brain now. But they don't like the way the government is sort of forcing them to just accept them and adopt this. It's like what happened in America with the Obamacare. They're like, why is the government telling us what to do? So,
Well, the 7 millionth dose was administered yesterday.
Oh.
Said the decommissioned cabinet's favorite grease extra, Hugo de Jong. Yet I'm still waiting for my letter to say that I can get my vaccine. But anyway, now during the press conference on Tuesday, De Jong went on a drunken rant and pledged that a million people will get a vaccine by next week, and over a million more will be vaccinated weekly starting in June. Now that does sound like someone who's had too much to drink would say.
Well. I'm actually surprised that the numbers are so high.
Because, so am I.
According to everything that I've heard from everyone, like, everyone was really disappointed with how the vaccination was going. But my stepsister, she sent me a message actually just now while we were talking, and she got her letter. She was called up to go get her vaccination. So she lives in Groningen.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, maybe there is still hope. I don't think so. With this guy, I don't think so. He still firmly believes that every adult resident in the Netherlands will have access to at least a first vaccine by early July.
Okay.
So let's see. Let's see, because really all I need is just a vaccine and then I can travel, because then I don't have to stick things up my nose and all of that before I go traveling.
Well, I mean, the universities, I told you that the university sent us an email saying that we're allowed to get free self-test kits. So my first set of test kits arrived today in the mail as well.
Oh.
So I picked up the parcel as I entered my house today.
Speaking of...
coming back from campus.
Speaking of self-tests, I actually got myself some. But the thing is, I didn't know that you have to... the self-test, you have to have the liquid, those like eye drop things that you squeeze onto that self-test thing to tell you whether or not you are...
I haven't checked it out yet.
Because those, it comes separately. I didn't know this. So I've got the self-test kits, but I don't have the liquid. Fuck's sakes.
I have to go check my kit to see as well what's
included. You need to, because I messaged my friend who I used to live with in London. He's a carer. And he has to test himself every week. And he was saying, oh, no, it comes, you're supposed to get a that little small liquid bottle. It looks like eye drops. I didn't know this. I thought it came with it. But anyway. Now, sticking with vaccines and corona and all of that, Joe Biden has celebrated a great day for America. As U.S. officials said, vaccinated people can go maskless in most indoor and outdoor settings. That's nice.
How will they, like, manage that or monitor that? Does everyone have a vaccine passport now?
I would say it's going to be interesting. I would say that that's most likely going to be the case, although most states in America have said they don't want anything to do with that kind of stuff. They don't want to involve themselves with them.
Passports. I mean, that's a lot of government regulation, and I think that was one of the main concerns with the vaccination process, is that, you know, like, they're creating like kind of apartheid or segregation system by saying the ones with the passports and the ones without.
Yeah.
So, well, everyone is alluding to like a very dystopian kind of situation where, yeah,
I think it will
just be apartheid all over again.
I think America is just relying on old fashioned common sense where, okay, well, most of the population has been vaccinated. Let's go back to normal again.
Okay. Well, yeah, like, all the best to them, I hope. I hope the faith in humanity pays off.
Yes. Well, Joe Biden symbolically removed his mask in the Oval Office with Republican lawmakers as the guidance was being announced. The COVID caseload in the U.S. has fallen to its lowest point since last September, with deaths also at their lowest since last April.
Oh, well, that's good. Yay, America.
Yes, very nice. Just very quickly, I see poor Nepal. They've seem to be taking the brunt now of the Indian virus.
Yeah, I read in the news about that as well. They wanted to actually, like, divide the Everest summit, like, between China and Nepal. That's what China wanted.
You know, I was reading something along the lines of, you can't take oxygen up now to Everest because they need it for the patients.
That's interesting.
And apparently, they were saying that if you do have corona and you are in Everest, climbing Everest, they said you should stay there and not come back. So, no, really, I was reading that. So,
what are you going to do on, like, the top of a mountain? Like, that's kind of weird to just, like, park off there and...
Well, I guess self-isolate. I mean, you're away, you know, you're in a very high place. So, very interesting. But poor Nepal, shame. Very sad news. What are you doing this weekend? Anything interesting?
No, nothing interesting this weekend. I guess I'm just chilling. Tomorrow I'll go sewing on campus, so we have a sewing party. I'll do some bike rides if the weather is nice, but yeah, nothing too exciting.
Well, I would say the weather's going to be crap, but if there's anything that I've learned from my weather apps is don't believe them.
Yeah, they're not to be trusted for sure. It said today would be a rainy day as well, and it was actually pretty nice, like, starting from lunchtime.
No, it was really, really nice. All right. Well, happy. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, thank you. For you too. And enjoy your weekend as well.
I shall indeed. And we will chat on Monday.
Yeah. Have a lovely weekend, Wayne. Ah.
Yes.
I'm saying Wade. Gosh, I'm so sorry.
You know, don't worry. Some people think they're funny. They think they're really funny. And they go, wait. You think you're fucking funny, huh? I mean,
I guess that can be really annoying. Sorry, man.
No, I'm one of these people. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. But when people think they're clever and you hear it all the time, it's like, yeah. Anyway, have a good weekend, everybody. And we'll chat on Monday.
Yeah, have a nice one. Enjoy the weekend, Wade.
Bye.
Bye-bye.